Hey folks, it's Brian Cook here with a few words from this week's sponsors, How to Manage a Marquess by Sally McKenzie and Magnate by Joanna Shoup. Whether you prefer your romance heroes with an English or an American accent, Kensington Books has you covered. Historical romance is blooming on both sides of the pond this spring with two brand new novels from authors Sally McKenzie and Joanna Shoup. Visit the quaint British village of Love's Bride in How to Manage a Marquess by Sally McKenzie, where two people may find that by meddling in their friends' love lives and trying to keep them apart, they might just become inseparable themselves. Or you can experience Gilded Age New York with Magnet by Joanna Shoup, where women glitter with wealth and men wield unimaginable power, and one captain of industry is about to be brought to his knees by a lovely heiress bent on creating her own stock brokerage firm. How to Manage a Marquess by Sally McKenzie and Magnate by Joanna Shoup are available now wherever books are sold and at kensingtonbooks.com.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 162 of the Competitive Erotic Fanfiction Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Cook, and you've found the internet's number one most trusted source for Muppet boners and horny loners. Apologies for the delay. I know it's been a while since there's been an episode. I honestly don't have time to put this out every week at this point. It's going to be approximately whenever I get around to it. Upcoming live shows include May 8th at the Virgil in Los Angeles. Note, there is no show May 15th at the Virgil in Los Angeles. That's our usual third Sunday, but I will be in Brooklyn at Union Hall that night. And then June 2nd through 5th at the Bridgetown Comedy Festival in Portland, Oregon. Today's show was recorded February 21st at the Virgil, featuring Ed Gamble, David Huntsberger, and Heather Thompson reading pieces they wrote based upon audience suggestions. First, you'll hear them draw topics, and then we'll fast forward into the future to hear the finished pieces. Enjoy. Give it up for your round two competitors to be writing based upon your suggestions. Thank you, Barbara. David Huntsberger, Ed Gamble, and Heather Thompson, ladies and gentlemen. All the way to the stage for these fine folks. One more time for your round two competitors. I think you can do better than that. I think we can all agree that was lackluster at best. Let's start with Heather Thompson. Heather, step up to the mic. Clap for Heather. Here's how this part works. If Heather likes the first suggestion, she can take it and run with it. If she doesn't like it, I will draw a second one, and then you will all vote with your applause on which one she has to write. Your first option is the Jonas Brothers.
I'm a digit.
Okay. Let's see what else we got. Option number two is Big Ange from Real Housewives. Take it up with somebody in the audience who doesn't know their housewives from their housewives. Okay. Who wants to hear Jonas Brothers by a round of applause? Who wants to hear Big Ange from Mob Wives? Heather Thompson, Big Ange. Keep it going for David Huntsberger. Too sexy. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is your first option.
That's all right. I'll do that.
You taking it?
Sure.
All right, David Huntsberger, clap your hands. Mr. Ed Gamble, clap for Ed Gamble. Ed, your first option is Hannah from Girls.
I'll have a look at another option.
All right. The 99 cent store. It's exactly what it sounds like.
I'm from England. I don't understand cents.
Do you know what rooms full of trash look like?
Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect.
Who wants to hear Hannah from Girls? Who wants to hear the 99 cent store? I mean, they kind of want to hear the 99 cent store. Take it away, Ed.
Thanks.
Thanks, man. Clap for all your round two competitors. You guys are dismissed. David Huntsberger, you ready?
Sure.
Keep it going for David Huntsberger. You do better than that for David Huntsberger.
Oh, I'm really keeping it going. Thank you. I appreciate that. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Neil rolled over and squeezed, his hand resting firmly on a large amount of flesh. His legs intertwined delicately with those of a much larger being. His mind, deep in slumber, brought in the musky aroma of the specimen that lay curled with him. Slowly he began to wake, eyes groggy, struggling to adjust. The mass next to him jostled ever so slightly. Neil glanced, eyes coming slowly into focus, and saw his arm wrapped around a foreign entity. This was not his wife. Inside the mass, Dell was lost to the deep, endless sleep that only comes to the truly exhausted. He let out a slight moan. He was thinking of shower curtains. He gently caressed the tender hand that held his being. He nuzzled the arm that wrapped around him. Hair. This arm had hair. Dell was awake. "Get your arm off of me," said Neil. "That's not my arm," replied Dell. With a jolt, they realized what was happening. They sprang out of bed. "How about those bears?" Yeah, gonna be a good year. They eyed the ground sheepishly, ignoring the tension. Neil glanced at Dell's engorged member, pushing against the fabric of his flannel pajama pants. Dell looked at Neil longingly. "It wouldn't be the end of the world if we just..." Dell raised his eyes to Neil, who flushed and looked away. "Dell, you've got to be joking. Does anyone like you in that way?" "I like me. My wife likes me," replied Dell. Words kept ringing and repeating in Neil's ears. He shook them away. "Dell, do you want to do something with that energy?" Dell stood motionless, embarrassed, the curtain ring around his cock gaining relief from the pressure with each passing moment. "I think I have a lot to offer." "Really? I do. I truly do." The words continued to haunt Neil. He blurted out, "Then let's find somewhere to relieve that tension." They dressed and got in the car. They drove to the airport. Upon arriving, they proceeded to the break room. There she was. "Can I help you?" The words were pounding in Neil's head. "Well, I guess you're fucked. You're fucked. You're fucked. You're fucked. Well, I guess you're fucked." Neil's borrowed shower curtain cock ring was about to snap. "Can I help you?" she asked, her cheeks blushing. Dell felt confused. "Earlier, I didn't get your meaning." She cocked her head coyly. "When you said, you're fucked," Neil unzipped his pants. The rosy-cheeked desk clerk's bosom heaved. Her heavy breathing increased. "Are you gonna take this dumbass smile off my rosy fucking cheeks?" Neil looked at Dell and responded, "We both are." "Oh, boy," she replied, and removed her top, her breasts barely contained. Neil undid her bra. His pants were off. Dell attached shower curtain rings to her nipples. She writhed in ecstasy and gazed up at Dell and down at his ring-enhanced throbbing cock. "Is that real?" Dell smiled. "It's the real article. What you see is what you get." She quickly invited him into her mouth. "Oh, dear," she gasped. Neil removed her polyester airport pants and was soon inside her, his cock ring making a rhythmic sound against her unexpected piercing. "Neil?" "Yeah? No, I was talking to her," said Dell. She kneeled, and they took turns in her mouth. They placed her on the table. She then led them to the floor. She pulled and prodded and giggled and moaned and climaxed at the same time. At the end of their session, airport employees who hadn't cleared the room slowly stood and exited. The trio lay in an exhausted heap, skin glistening, chests rising in unison. Dell reached over and gently touched Neil's hand. Neil smiled a bashful smile, laying his head back. He was happy, and so was Dell. They were all blissful. "So do you possibly have a car for us?"
"No."
All right, thank you.
David Huntsberger. Where are Ed or Heather?
So you guys know I got Big Ange. Now I'm going to do a little backstory because I feel like not everyone knows who Big Ange is or why she was in the pot this week. So she's part of Mob Wives. Mob Wives is not Real Housewives, okay? There are similarities. They're sort of attractive women who can't handle the fact that they're aging and do sort of have money. But these women supposedly have money from, like, mob boss husbands and, like, men who are in jail. And, like on Real Housewives, they, like, fight in, like, weird passive-aggressive ways. But these women actually, like, grab each other's hair and, like, get down to it, which I appreciate. And it's on VH1. So anyway, I swear I don't work for them. Big Ange, sorry, you know when you're like, it's not appropriate to smile right now? Big Ange died this week of cancer. So I am assuming that's why somebody threw it in, because it's like, how are you going to do a comedy sex show about somebody who died of cancer this week? tragedy and no taste. But anyway, I appreciate it because I sincerely like Big Ange. I mean, as much as you can like a reality show character that, you know, didn't have enough talent to really be an actor, but like still had a fucked up enough childhood that they didn't get like mirrored properly, so still, you know, like, desperately on television. But I genuinely liked her, so this is for you, Big Ange. The cast party for Mobs Wives were usually lively, full of booze, fights, contractual obligation to be here, and conversations about who didn't respect who and who needed to know. Today, things... This is me when I'm sassy. Today, things were somber, though. The only likable character in the cast was only getting sicker, and even staring at her huge boobs, which stuck out further than a distended stomach from one of those third world kid ads that make you wonder, where can you still get a cup of coffee for a dollar a day? Where can you? McDonald's? Big Ange did have the hugest tits, the biggest injected lips, the hugest heart, and a vagina wide enough to host a parade, and not a small town one. Sorry, I can't wink. Unfortunately, something else was big, and that was the cancer growing in her lungs, brain, and throat. Smoking had given Big Ange the kind of husky voice that vibrated your junk like sitting on an old, unlevel washing machine you couldn't bring yourself to get rid of. But smoking had ruined her body also. Take note, kids. Renee, Karen, Carla, and Drita, those are the other girls, gathered around her, pressing their tight, spandex-clad bodies together in a group hug. Whose spray-tanned cellulite was whose, you could hardly tell as their pleather outfits suck and suction to one another. We don't want to lose you, Big Ange, Drita cried. And then Karen looked up and said, with a hesitation but also a mischievousness in her eyes, I know of a really alternative treatment. I don't know if it could ever work, but it might be worth trying. What? The girl shouted. Well, Karen said, we could love the cancer out of her. That's nice, but caring and hugs ain't never cured this shit. I have accents on my resume, but I can't fully do them. I ain't talking about that kind of love, Drita, she said as she cupped her face and pushed her body back against the red couch. I'm talking about a rougher kind of love. We're gonna fuck the cancer out of her. Big Ange started to say, you're gonna what? But Carla's fingers were in her mouth before she could say the T. Meanwhile, Drita started to pull her legs open. In case this is starting to sound non-consensual, Big Ange was heard to slur, I'm into it. Through the fingers. Renee tore her dress open, liberating her large, unwieldy, ungodly, unnatural breasts like when the U.S. tore down that statue of Saddam Hussein. Drita shouted, I'm gonna own your pussy and incarcerate it like most of our fathers and current significant others because psychology says we tend to repeat the bad patterns of our childhood and reality stars are no exception. Big Ange had huge labia, just like her larger-than-life personality, but Drita got in there anyway and worked that clit like Sally Field never made unions happen. Carla couldn't fit a Big Ange nipple in her mouth because they were the size of those giant novelty lollipops you see kids eating things like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. But she licked it like an ice cream cone you were trying to keep from melting on your hand on a hot New Jersey day. Speaking of melting on your hand, Carla was now inside Big Ange. Cancer couldn't find your G-spot, but I can, she shouted. Big Ange was so wet she was going to have to force production to buy another white shag carpet. Things were hot, but Karen knew it wasn't quite working. Girls, girls, we can't just work her holes and boobs. We have to go where the cancer is. I might lose you here. And Karen licked her face until her skull opened up and started tenderly licking those brain folds like a young, confused lesbian finding a clit for the first time at summer camp. Carla fisted through her mouth, stroking those throat and lungs like a teenage boy who's just found a Sears catalog and lotion for the first time. Drita kept in that sweet puss because, hey, it's a sweet puss. They worked their bodies harder than they did in their spinning class that they go to keep from feeling fat or irrelevant. And slowly Ange began to shake and come and squirt like that super soaker I got when I was 8 before it broke. And she sprayed goo all over the girls' faces, more than the makeup that she'd put on. And she soaked the walls and the windows and the camera guy and the sound guy and the grips and the producer and the associate producer. And all that spectacular jizz was cancer leaving her body in one giant dramatic shake, like the opposite of an Irish goodbye. And with that, Ange was cured and lived and is going to be on the next season of Mob Wives, because I like a happy ending on a this show that works on levels.
Heather Thompson, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks, Heather. Don't worry about that.
That's empty. Where's Ed at? There he is, your final competitor, Mr. Ed Gamble. Clap your hands all the way to the microphone.
What's up, dude?
Thank you.
Yes.
99 cent store. Been doing some revision. Anthony stood back and admired his domain. Finally, he had made it. He had a job at the 99 cent store. It had been his dream since childhood. Sure, he had an IQ of 160 and had studied brain medicine at the University College of America. The data wasn't working on my phone, so... But he always knew that working at the 99 cent store was his calling. You see, touching pennies made him hard. Something about the feel of the burnished metal, the smell it left on his fingers, and the stoic and commanding face of Lincoln really swelled his downstairs. So where better than the 99 cent store? The 99 cent store cash... I just keep saying it. The 99 cent store cash register were overflowing with pennies. He had it all planned out. He would earn the trust of the management until they let him close the store, and then when everyone left, he would take a 99-cent bucket, fill it with pennies, and then, using his hands, shape a rudimentary copper vagina in the pile of coins, then thrust his tumescent parsnip balls deep into it. This is something he could never achieve working at the Apple store. Sure, the pay would have been better, but you can't put your dick in a contactless debit card transaction. He was jolted from his daydream about fucking loose change by a woman coming through the automatic doors. He instantly recognised her. It was Megan, the area manager from the newly opened 98 cent store across the street. She shouldn't be in here. They were bitter rivals. He jumped out of his seat with such a force that he shook loose the penny he had pushed up his rectum earlier that morning. This gets fucking weird, guys. You're going to have to get on board. He wanted to inform the management that they had an enemy in their midst. But before he could reach the back office, Megan had cornered him. "Anthony, isn't it?" she gruffly whispered. She placed a hand on his face. She was a heavy smoker and had nicotine yellow fingers. It looked like she'd been finger blasting Marge Simpson. "Yes," said Anthony, "and you shouldn't be here." "Come, come," said Megan. "Have you ever thought about joining the 99 cent store? 98 cent store? I hear you're into pennies. Think about it. Over there, we need double the change." Before he could answer, she had undone his belt, which didn't take much as it was a 99 cent belt and was basically made from wet paper. She tore off his 99 cent pants with ease and gripped his meat. His penis could be generously described as a mess. It was disconcertingly red and looked like a dog's face, but not a happy dog. The sort of dog that's left in the shelter because it has far too many emotional problems to be trained properly on account of its last owner hitting it with a kettle. But he was proud of it. It was a 99 cent cock. "I know what you need," she purred like an emphysemic cat. She thrust his hand into her pocket. It was full of pennies. He instantly got hard as his finger delicately traced the outline of Lincoln's pert lips. Before he knew it, she was naked, her 98-cent vagina angrily jutting out in front of her. It was time for his dog to meet her sunburned second smile. They found space in the giant display of car sponges and he slid inside her, all the while fondling the pile of pennies. As he reached his climax, they both shouted in ecstasy, lost in their miserable, sweaty $1.97 fuck. "Take it, take it, like the 98 cent whore you are," he shouted. He pulled out and sprayed his good value man jam over her stomach. This is nonsense now. "So, do you think you could come down in the world?" she breathlessly whispered. He put away his penis. This is how fucking quickly I was writing there. All I can see is the word penis. He put away his penis, which had been bruised and mangled after years of fucking change. No, you're not for me, he said. You are far too cheap.
Ed Gamble. Ed, you can stay right here. Let me get all the round two competitors back to the stage. Once again, be choosing a winner. First, I'm going to remind you of what everybody read. Here they all are. We started with, I don't remember the order. We started with David Huntsberg with Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Hold on. We're not voting yet. This isn't voting. This is just reminding. Then Heather Thompson with Big Ange. And finally, Ed Gamble with the 99 Cent Store. So pick a winner now with your applause, starting with David Huntsberg, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Heather Thompson, Big Ange. And Ed Gamble, 99 Cent Store. I think that's Mr. Ed Gamble by a nose in round two. Good, big round of applause for your champion and all of your competitors this evening. Yourselves for coming out. This lovely venue here. Keep clapping for things. The Virgil, your staff.
That does it for round two. To hear round one from this show, you can go back and download episode 161. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and rate us on iTunes. It's a big help, as are positive comments. And for details on upcoming shows, you can follow me on Twitter at Brian Cooking or the show at CE Fanfic. See you next time.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.